line with the watchtower in just a moment.
My feelings part party line. The line itself was lacking as far as sound quality, as far as uniqueness, surprises, as far as never knowing what you were going to hear. I think quality of comments, variety of people was excellent. It reminded me of Dual Phase, or Dual Phase reminded me of Party Line in that sense. And, of course, I did meet Mark Party Line, who was a total fox. And I thought it was an excellent line. It's too bad that it went down, but he was up for 2 years, so that's about the lifespan of most comment lines, with the exception of Mr. Feedback now.
Two joke lines began at this period. One was Aardvark, which is based in San Diego, and the other was God Uncle Bill's. Then, in 1977, The Link began, run by Joe.
Mike, I like it. I haven't caught it in a while. I've heard one of the new tapes, and I thought it was pretty good. I don't know. It never seems to stabilize on what it's going to do, however. By the time this thing may ever get played, it may not even be making comments again. But for what Joe does and the work he puts into it, it's not bad at all.
I didn't call The Link a lot. But it was, the reason I didn't call The Link a lot, like I said, I don't like lines when they get really, really serious and they start talking about, well, let's talk about the gas crisis, you know, stuff that you can read about in the editorial page of the LA Times. And The Link got that way, and a lot of people like it for its seriousness, and for that reason I rarely call it. But as I, you know, it was one of the very well-organized lines.
No correct call, and no third-party billing charges accepted at this number. The Link. The Link. Ladies and gentlemen, you're in touch with The Link playback number.
Zygon has branched off into many cities all across the country. Joe, do you see a time when The Link might do this?
It's possible. It wouldn't be, The Link is the way I would put something like that together. And, for example, with the joke lines. The joke lines aren't all the way I would put something together. Different people have different requirements for the material they play. They won't play certain things, or they will play certain things, or they add things. Everybody has their own style. I don't think that there will ever be a carbon copy of it. I think that someone may take a few of my ideas and put them together and try and run it, or they may take a few things they may like of mine or that they don't like. It'll be a mix. In other words, it's going to be nothing exactly like it, and I'm not pushing it. I'm not trying to get someone else to do it. A lot of people would like comment lines in other parts of the country. Everybody that's ever heard a joke line that I talked to is wanted a comment line in the same calling area.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see comment lines, but I don't think you're not going to see me. I'm not going to try and franchise it out. That's what you mean.
Since The Link began, it alternated between a comment line and a conference line. Still in late 77, a comment line called Sounding Board went up in Philadelphia, and it was run by Mark.
Well, he did a presentation that was played on Feedback and on The Link, I believe, and even on Trusty Board, and a couple other ones that I am still waiting for my copy, Brian. He did a thing called electronic editing. I think most of us have heard it, but I think it's some of the stuff that he did like that was very well produced.
Mm-hmm.
He did his own little shows like that, which I essentially may get into because I enjoyed them so much when he did them.
No collect calls and no third-party billing charges will be accepted on 72501.
Delta, you're listening to Artist Participation Telephone, Sounding Board.
I'm calling about the girl that was on the comment line, and she was asking if she should still go out with her boyfriend. I think she said he had a nervous breakdown and he was in a mental institution. Well, I think she should, because it doesn't make him any less of a person. I mean, everybody has their problems, and he's still a human being. But I don't think she should let him lean on her too much, because it's not good.
She wasn't referring to her boyfriend specifically. She was talking in a general way about the rights of mentally handicapped individuals, the mentally retarded, and individuals who are in a mental institution, but I don't recall her mentioning her boyfriend. Thank you very much for the call.
Hey, this is Frank Klein, Northeast.
You're tuned to Sounding Board, Philadelphia's first and only full-time comment connection.
All talk. All talk.
Would it be beneficial if everyone were able to utilize the total capacity of ESP?
I'm going to end the program. If you'd like to partake in this open forum, you can leave your comments by calling 722-0183. I usually end with music, but I'm not going to this time. So many people are calling to complain about the music that I play at the end of the program, when in fact, I don't have a lot of music here in the library, and I just use what I have. Plus the fact that this is not really a music line, it is a comment line. The music is just used to enhance the production. But since so many people are calling to complain about it, I won't put any music on the end of the program from now on. Or at least until I acquire new music, because I realize that it's very upsetting to most of you, or to some of you anyway, who are calling to complain about it. So keep that input number in mind, 723. And this is Mark saying goodbye. And keep those comments coming. That's the only way I can change the tape once a day. The last tape that was on prior to this played for 3 days, and that's because the rate of input was not so good. However, I do have some comments left over. I'm deliberately holding them back for the next program so that I can change the tape within the 24-hour period. Goodbye. Is 2-1.
No collect call and no third-party billing charge accepted here at Sounding Board.
725-01 playback.
722-34 input.
In late November of 1978, Mark Sounding Board committed suicide.
Mark Rager, who ran Sounding Board in Philadelphia, which was an all-around original, most definitely different and unique. I keep using that word unique, but it fits everything I've said. Comment line ever, which is why I ran Foreign Exchange on the Mondays, my foreign exchange tapes from Sounding Board. I mean, sure, Mark had his ego problems and had his differences with people out here. But you gotta admit, the guy was, you know, he ran a line that was definitely, I mean, it wasn't interesting to a lot of people out here, but it was different. It had its own, and it had its own following back there, and Mark contemplated at times coming out here, and he would ask me how a Sounding Board would go over out here, and I would tell him that I didn't know, because a lot of people had their different feelings about him. But if he had brought the same comments with him and the same people from Philadelphia, if he moved a Sounding Board out here, it probably wouldn't have worked. But being out here, he'd have a new audience. And I definitely think Sounding Board would have been probably one of the best comment lines ever out here, being the great phone community that we have now, leaving comments on a Sounding Board out here being run by Mark. It definitely would have been good. As far as Mark had it, like I said, Mark had his personality problems. He seemed to be a nice person listening to on the tapes, but you had to know him, and I definitely knew him very well towards the end, before his line went down and the tragedy occurred. I hadn't kept in touch with him in the couple months preceding all of that, but he's my fifth choice. He's made something. He's added a lot to phones over the years as far as international goes. He brought us a lot of long-distance callers calling the lines out here, who still do on occasion. And definitely he was a very different individual.
When Brian referred to Mark as his fifth choice, he was referring to him when I asked what people had made a contribution to the phone world. The watchtowers at this time brought up what was to become known as the roving diverter. It was a series of numbers located throughout Southern California. If you called a number, it would divert you to a specified entertainment line, which she would select and change every day or sometimes twice a day. The diverter was up until 1980 when she took it down.
The reason why I took them down, one number in particular, I had received all together, as it turned out, four collect calls. They were itty-bitty ones, but that's not the point. I know who did it. They know that I know that they did it. And it was quite irritating. I was getting kind of tired of doing it. Someone at one point was holding up the Orange County number on a couple of occasions, alternating between my diverter and Mike's Montage's diverter. And I started to take all three of them down, but after I cooled off, I did otherwise. One thing that I did do, one of the numbers, of course, I gave the 995 to Montage. And it's just as well, because with this thing with the orts, it wouldn't have been too much longer anyway. And maybe this will give people a chance to get kind of used to the idea of having to call through other means. I know a lot of people, especially the older people, did appreciate it. In fact, it was kind of interesting. One of the young men from long distance, like quite a few people from long distance, had mentioned that they liked the diverters, even though it didn't benefit them per se as far as free calls, but they got a chance to hear other recordings that they did not know about. So I was kind of pleased by that, and as I said, more than one person mentioned that.
As 1978 sprung upon us, two more comment lines came up, and they were both short-lived. One was Test Board, which received a number of criticisms from different people and remained up for several months. And then Contact, run by Jay in Culver City, also came up, and it was again short-lived. Also, another comment line came up in Orange County called Short Circuit, run by Rusty. This, however, has remained up for a long time, and as of 1980, is still running. Joe of the Link brings us up to date on the comment line situation.
Oh, let's see. Lines, for a while, people were really trying to, they were becoming sophisticated systems, really, you know, heavy on the technology, and I think it's coming back to that. I mean, as far as complicated answering machines and different features and higher, you know, people were striving for a higher quality. For a while, the lines kind of died down, and I shut mine down for a while. Brian shut his down, and other lines had gone. So other people, such as, you know, Bruce Wynott, Mike Gorman, and, of course, Dan, they had wanted to start lines at one point or another, and they wanted to kind of, I guess, fill the gap. They wanted to try something new and show people what they had to offer. And so each of them set about it in a different way. Dan liked the technology end of it, which I don't blame him for, because that's my favorite part of it.
Joe has been referring to Dan of Dual Phase. Dual Phase was a comment line that came up at the very end of 1978 and has continued through 1980.
Part 8 of the History of Telephone Entertainment can be heard beginning Tuesday, December 30th, right here on Feedback. This is 765-6000 North Hollywood with Part 9 of the History of Telephone Entertainment, a production of Burt Beverly Hills.
What is your opinion of Dual Phase?
My opinion of Dual Phase. Can we pass over that question, please?
No.
I don't want to answer that question.
You just killed the level on it.
Oh. That'll provide for some...
But seriously.
I don't want to answer
answer that.
Okay.
It's not positive or negative, but it might take me a few hours to think of my answer.
Dan, what is the future of dual phase hold in store for us?
Ultimately, if I do plan on what I expect, very much in a computerized format, as far as you'll call in, you'll answer by probably a one-minute message, which will contain a menu of selections of input, output, your conference, or other goodies and selections of the weather, news, and even perhaps a joke segment on there or some kind of skit. The machine that Roy built for this has capabilities up to 29 choices of what I'd like. That's what I built it for right now. It has capabilities up to an unlimited line, whatever I decide to do, as far as how many lines I go. The schematic I'm doing right now, and with the aid of a very good friend of mine, will be completed at a unknown time at this point. You'll find a lot of these lines, for people that are involved in electronics, will tend to go very much computerized as far as that goes. And also, there's a good bad about it, because there's a little warning as far as the more you get into computers and computerized, the more you can get into the telephone company. And it's very possible, if you were to call a line, they would either, if you're in the same CO, could get your telephone number, or could get the general area that you're calling from. Now, what will be happening for my machine is that I will be able to get the number you're calling from as far as the number that you've called into, not your number, but let's say if you call 2400, if I'm still at that number by that time, you will have, I will have that, but you called in that number, so you say, hey, you called it that, or you may have called 5067, and that will tell me basically which lines are getting the most usage out of. Right now, I only have blank key counters on each one of them, except for my 995 converter, so all I can do is, I'm estimating on that. Also, my 714 will be getting a counter soon.
How many calls do you get a day, total?
Very hard to say. I go, my flux goes, it goes up and down so much. It's very interesting because the other day when I had Regina's comment on, which was half an hour long approximately, I was jam-packed. I had more than my normal lines in rotary, and they were all filled. And the second, and I'm not exaggerating, the second the line was open, it was busy again. Somebody called right back. And these were not people that were trying to busy it out. These were callers. Very, very unusual. Now, as far as my standard everyday average school phase day goes, I'll get a reasonable amount of calls on and off during the morning. At noontime, it'll increase reasonably. But my biggest and most heaviest time is between 6 p.m. and 1 o'clock in the morning. It's the biggest, crowded time for dual phase. So call in the morning.
Avoid heavy traffic.
Right.
Give your phones the afternoon off.
Right.
Dan, how did you come up with the name dual phase for your line?
How did I come up with dual phase? Well, after suffering long evenings of thinking, what can I call this line? What am I going to even do with a line? Am I going to run conference only? A lot of people wanted me to run conference only. I wanted to run a conference line. When I first got involved, a couple of people were sort of upset. Namely, Jim Sherman Oaks thought I would have been better at just a conference line. Some of you may still agree with that, but basically, it came after a lot of hard thinking of all. I had all sorts of names, and people would say, "What do you do with those names? I'd like to borrow one from my line." But you've got to think of your own name, and you've got to be very happy with it, or you just, if you're not having a new name, your line's not going to work. You've got to be comfortable, first of all, with what you're calling it. Dual phase derived from originally, I was thinking in my dear health class in high school, with the term of dual I was thinking of, because I was thinking of common and conference. I wanted to run both, It's taking me a while. I'm getting a lot of personal problems as far as trying to get lines in, and a lot of problems with the phone company. I have not done that. Now, I have capabilities now to run conference, but I'm not for many reasons, because I don't feel, unless I want to run a conference, that's suitable as far as I want the person on the other side of my conference to hear them as well if they were to call them. Now, I have not called a conference yet, except for Valley Connection, I thought was very good as far as amplification, but I've not really called another conference and heard the quality that I want. So I'm not going to do it until I'm very happy, and the machine I'm building will take care of that requirement. Phase, well, that sort of got stuck in somehow. I was looking at second phase. Also have things you could go around dual phase from. Most interesting thing I thought was once I got my line up, because people kept on calling my line dual phase, F-A-C-E, which in a sense was very upsetting to myself, but I learned to get over it, and so did people learn to have to get over and actually know what my line was called. The worst thing that basically wasn't meant in a joke, having my line, was a lot of the joking around between feedback, Brian himself, and Steve, created a somewhat of a poor image for my line. It didn't help. May I tell you that, Brian and Steve? That it was basically done in fun, but a lot of it did not help my line as far as people actually believe a lot of the quote jokes, unquote, that went on. Common line runners are not gods, even though we try and feel and make ourselves one. We are normal people.
As we turn to 1979, Steve of the Electric Return brought up a two-line conference line, which was called the Valley Connection.
Steve of Electric Return said it when he took down Valley Connection. You got people that were calling with the sole reason of picking people up, and if they called in, you were on there, and you weren't at the right sex, or you weren't willing to get out your phone number, they would immediately hang up. And it's very rare you get a few people that are really interesting to talk to. You might as well just call them direct.
The Blue Line, what were your impressions of the other people on the Valley Connection when you called?
When I didn't get phone freaks and I got, quote, normal people, it was fairly interesting. But, of course, the normal people, being normal, would drop off after a while. And so it was only on very rare occasions that I had an interesting conversation on there. But I think it was a pretty good service. I liked it much better than a conference, you know, when a bunch of people are there all screaming out their private numbers. I thought it was a neat concept, and I don't know how Brian's on 765 on the cross connection, he's trying to do the same thing, and I don't know how that's working out, but I hope it works out.
We're almost completely out of phones until January 1979. At which time the Valley Connection came up. Now, again, I borrowed this idea from Mark Bernay of San Francisco. He's had one of these private loops for years. But, again, I was the first one to do this in Los Angeles. And at first it went slowly, but by the third month I had it up. The call rate was a couple thousand calls per day, I'd say. But then you must remember many of those calls were hang-ups. Because people call in and immediately hang up, and the circuit provided that if you hung up, then it hung up the other person. So there was a lot of this game playing and hanging up and that sort of thing. But I guess some people enjoyed it. Some people didn't, because someone changed the phone numbers. And I guess I could have changed them back and put it back up, but at a point I decided that it wasn't. You know, it was becoming too much trouble, so I just didn't bother having the numbers changed back, and the phone company instructed them to just discontinue the service. In a way, I'm sorry, because the line was going pretty well in some respects, and the call rate was rather high, and I was rather proud of the equipment. I built it myself, and it was rather simple. I mean, as far as the technology, it was relays. There were, I guess, 12 relays and 6 pole double throw relays, and practically every one of the contacts was used, and they were all interconnected together. And not knowing very much about electronics, I suppose I was rather proud of the circuit. There was a party for that, I think, in April 1979. then there was almost a couple of fights at that party, which was too bad. I guess that was just another another indicator that the line was being abused, you know, that that would happen. And I think at that time, this is prior to Alex's conference, I think my line was the number one vehicle for the troublemakers to do their troublemaking. So all in all, it was better to just discontinue the thing.
In 1979, Alec, who had run an answering service conference, brought up a five-line conference in Van Nuys. The first thing one would hear when they called would be...
Hello, conference.
A conference ran for a number of months and was very popular until Alec decided to take it down. I asked him why.
Well, the reason I took down a conference was twofold. First reason was because it was a financial liability. Sounds good, doesn't it? Well, what a financial liability is, I'll define it. That means... I'm moving. I'm moving to the west end of the valley, which means I'm going out of my calling area, which is a 9-8 or a Van Nuys area, which means conference would not be as good because we wouldn't have as good a calling area. Secondly, I could not keep my same couplers nor my same machine. That means more money for installation, more money for a new machine. That's a lot of money. You're looking at $600, $700, $800 again. Now, if I didn't take it with me, I'd have to find an office. And if I found an office, it would be here in the Van Nuys area, and I would need a first and a last month's rent, and I would need money for installation. And you're looking at over $1,000, plus if I wanted to get furniture for the office. Now, this is the major reason. I would have kept the conference if I honestly felt, I would have put the money into it, if I honestly felt that there was enough people out there who honestly appreciated it. Now, don't get me wrong, there was at least half the people who called appreciated the conference, and they talked on it, and they enjoyed it, and they treated it with respect. But too often, people would call at 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, what's on conference? Who's on conference? Why is conference up? There's a touchstoner. And we would call up, and or we'd go into the conference room, and we'd fix it for you. But all the services that we provided, we felt that... We did not receive any compensation. Not that we wanted to make money, far from it. But what we tried to do is make at least the conference self-supporting. Now, I didn't mind putting out the initial money, and I didn't mind working towards building it so people would send the donations in. But as time went on, the donations fell off. People started getting taggy. I mean, really, people out there, regardless if we talk from 10 to 1 or we have hours or regardless of all that, it's conference really that important that you have to sit there and play these little games? Who the hell cares what hours we have conference or if we ask for your phone number? You don't want to give us a phone number? Don't call the line. It's my line, not yours. I'm putting the money into it. Now, if you are sending money in and it's self-supporting, call up and bitch. And y'all called up and bitched anyway. So it didn't make that much of a difference. But those are the two basic reasons. And maybe I could add a third, that there's a group of people out there who I think want to play games, who like to call me up and threaten me, who like to call me up and say just stupid, immature things. I got one thing to say to you people out there who have done all this, and you know who you are, all of you. You know something? When I think of all the things in this world that need help. There's a lot of things in this world. When I think that you put all your energy into bothering me, I think you're a very sad person. Thank you.
One question. How much money did you receive in the months that you did run conference?
I never figured it out. I can give you kind of an idea. The first 2 months were really good. We got $66 and I think $64 or something like that. And then I got really into the party, and I think I had 1 month with 5, another with none, and I think I had one with 30, and I'd say in total maybe a couple $100, which isn't too bad. And but that was then. As time went on, the contribution.
This is 765-6000, and now part 6 of the history of telephone entertainment.
Yeah.
stacked up next to my bookshelves, and there's literally tape running all over my floors that I trip on all the time. Absolutely no order at all. It's very mangy. That's how I play old tapes. I'll pick up a reel off my floor and play it, and if it sounds interesting, I'll put it on the line.
Would you call Blue Blind successful?
Oh, yeah. For what it wanted to do. I don't know. I just, as I said, we wanted to be first a joke line just to play something, and it turned into a comment line. And I don't know. I heard recently a Why Not tape where they were kind of bragging about how they want to play anything and everything. But I think that we were really one of the first lines that has tried to have no censorship, to try to really play anything anyone wants to say, regardless of whatever, and try to steer away from, you know, arguing about some war somewhere or something that you can read in the newspaper, or steering away from personal attacks and just getting downright bizarre and stuff that you really can't hear anywhere else.
And then
the entire San Fernando Valley. This is 24-hour recorded telephone entertainment from Feedback, Los Angeles.
Feedback, I gotta admit that when Feedback, my phone, there we go, my phone broke. When Feedback was in its prime and it was running good comment tips, I would say that he had a better line than I did comment-wise. He had a better exchange of ideas, which I've tried to get going, but for some reason, Blueline seems to be something where you just leave what you have to say and then back off and listen to everyone else. Feedback had a rapport and an exchange of ideas that for some reason never got going on Blue Point. He tends to be more serious. I thought always that maybe we can get an exchange going on the non-serious. Maybe not the non-serious, but the non-standard and the non-conventional. But it works sometimes. There's times that Blue Point really gets going great, and it's really a pleasure to go make a tape. The past month or so, it's been kind of a drudgery, and when it starts to be a chore and not fun, then you start thinking that it's time to, hit the road. Feedback News was a really neat concept. Let me tell you the history. See, Feedback News, Brian and I had always admired KHJ National Anthem, and all these radio stations and magazines always tended to play these really weird offbeat news stories. And Brian called me up and said, why don't we do one of our own? Let's find some weird offbeat news stories and read them, just as a break from comments. I thought it was a great idea, and I said, listen, why don't you let me read made-up news? Let me write some stuff. And since, phone people love to gossip, it's just you get into the society and you got to tattle about everyone. And so I thought I'd, make a little fun of that and do the gossip section of the news and make up stuff that's, totally irrelevant and irreverent and try to make some fun of it. And I think it added a lot because it was a break. And 30 minutes, admittedly, is a little too long. I try to put some music on my tape, but that doesn't always work. But I thought it was a really nice little break. And I thought that the last few tapes that we put together on Feedback with the news and everything were probably some of the best comic tapes that I've ever produced, that I've ever been on. I mean, when we did the news, I thought that Stephen Blueblind didn't sound official enough, so for some reason I just picked Z out of the air and got Stephen Z Blueblind. And a few tapes later, Brian thought that he should have one, so as a complete surprise to me, we're doing the tape, and all of a sudden he calls himself Brian W. Feedback. And I don't know, the letters fit for some reason.
The result.
Continuing with the factual news, a Tanzanian magician, Andrea Lagondo Bazimakiko, was performing for children in the central Tanzania when he asked for a volunteer from the audience to participate in a dagger-stabbing illusion. A willing youngster was covered with a blanket, and after chanting magic words, Bazimiko stuck a knife through it. The volunteer was hospitalized for deep stab wounds in the stomach, and Bazimiko was placed in prison.
source of news, UPI.
Well, look who's bringing the Valley News in North Hollywood. Believe it or not, Paul Mack likes his Valley News carrier route because he likes meeting people, earning money, and having responsibility. His ambition is to become a movie actor. Films are his hobby, and he makes his own Super 8mm sound films. He has his own film library of more than 60 old-time movies, and he also enjoys golfing. Boy, him and Michael Hollywood get along. Paul will be a 10th grader at Belmarine Jefferson High School, wherever the hell that is. Good friend of Bob Hope. Right. Become a Valley News carrier route of your own. Perform some magic. This weekend on Fun Phone, Stu decides that he's going to tackle with the big-time credit card companies in the episode we call the Credit Card Caper. That's this Saturday and Sunday on Fun Phone on Feedback. Feedback news continues now with the gossip and Stephen Z. Blueblatt.
Now on the international scene, dictator Idi Amin has been successfully exiled from the South African country of Uganda. Although Uganda troops were worried about Amin trying to seize control again, a recent news conference revealed that Idi Amin actually wanted to leave the country, reportedly so that he could spend more time with his South African zygote line. He is now changing the tape every 20 minutes and is really enjoying it. The crazed leader said, quote, ha-ha, I most like one about kid's trip to San Francisco where he presses all buttons. Ha-ha, funny stuff. Well, whatever. Yeah, he was unavailable. I don't know. Well, guess what, Brian? That's it.
That's the best news I've heard in years.
And now back to North Hollywood, where people are ringing Brian's input line off the hook.
It was most, like most lines, it, you know, was kind of slow. And, of course, Brian wasn't that well known. I remember him, and so does Joe Granada Hills. He used to call in to Al's conference, but I never really knew him that well. And it was interesting, you know, after a while to see how things did pick up. I think as Brian and I were discussing, the big thing that really kind of made his line pick up was the controversy with Raker and myself. And then the controversy went on with Bob Beverly Hills and myself with Michael Hollywood. I think the line has been excellent. I would say, as most people have commented, most people, if they don't hear any other line, they hear Feedback. I mean, Feedback is like the main source for information, no matter what it is, whether it's phone-oriented or something about daily living, what have you. Of course, he's had his slumps, but that is the case with most lines. They go, you know, through periods where things are a little bit slow. But he has done an excellent job, and I have met him on several occasions, and he's a gorgeous person. And I think he now, certainly for the last several weeks, has come somewhat out of his slump and back to in, you know, where he has always been, but he has never fallen to the bottom. He has always been number one. I'm sure that he will always be number one. He's certainly the most established mine around, and he's almost been up, I guess, now 3 years, come August.
Yeah, it was great when it started. It is great now, and it was great in its prime.
You still call it great now, even though half the time it's not up. Why do you still call it great?
Feedback is a great line. Feedback is a great, Brian's a great person. He's a very talented young man.
What is it exactly that makes Feedback so great?
Brian's personality.
So in other words,
and his knowledge of what to do, his the way he knows how to put a tape together.
So in other words, the quality of the line all depends on the runner.
I could say that, yes, because the runner's responsible for keeping his machines going, for making the tapes, for choosing which comments are to be played on the line, etc., etc.
I came to know about the same time. He's been up, I guess, since August, and I wasn't calling the lines at all at that time. And I ended up talking to him through the watchtowers, and
him off, and I tried calling the line, and he was trying out different things at that time. And at that point in time, I really couldn't get much into the lines, at least not until I started my own. I didn't realize what the problems were, the idea of the line was. I'd heard a line, a comment line, I didn't know what was what, and I didn't until I started my own, really. And that was all trial and error.
I was up in Canada when feedback first started, so I didn't know about it. When I came back, I was told of it, and it was running records and routines, and I don't remember all it was running. Mainline, it ran one mainline tape continuously. He called me up once when I was running my forwarding service, when I was forwarding to Party Line up in the valley, and we talked a little bit, and I thought he was a pretty good guy, and I didn't think his line would elevate as well as it has, and I do like it. It when it runs comments, it does well. When in fact, it's the only line that's ever done the idea of the news.
Right.
I think there's something about every line. They always have something that nobody else does that makes them original.
What does your line do that makes you original?
I haven't figured it out yet. I change tapes every other day. Maybe that's it.
Feedback was also an outlet for the wrong number, at least until...
You have reached the wrong number. We regret to announce that this service has been discontinued.
Well, I'll tell you, we didn't have fun phone. We haven't had the feedback news, but I'll tell you what we're going to have. We're going to have a dump quiz. Well, the dump quiz with the old feedback theme in the background in the studio tonight is, how old is it? It is so old that it was back 2 years ago when feedback began, right, Steve?
On a stone record, right?
That's Steve Blueblind. Also here is a resident expert on dumb quizzes, Nate North Hollywood. Might have spoken with him on conference if you were misfortunate enough. And unfortunate enough. Anyhow, why don't, Nate, you explain exactly what a dumb quiz is?
Go ahead.
It's a conference with questions. That's real good. We'll tell you that it's going to be tonight, Monday night, beginning at 8 p.m., and this is what happens. At 8 o'clock, a tape will go on. Let's see, four of the numbers, they being 982, 765, 982, 5, and what's the last one? 98 and 99, the Van Nuys line, okay?
Right.
Now, and plus whatever else might be forwarding over here. What happens is at that time, there'll be a tape going on which will have nine questions on it. Nine questions. After you hear the questions, one of us will magically pop onto the line and ask if you have an answer.